Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 25, please. We've been looking at this subject of power and authority the last several weeks. We started out by defining what power and authority was according to the scriptures. And we looked at the difference between prayer and ministering. We looked at the origin of authority. And we saw that our authority comes from an intimacy from our God. The closer we are with God, the more we recognize who we are and what we have, what we've been called to do. We saw that our authority is to be wrapped in love when we exercise it in the church. We looked at delegated authority, and we saw how this functions not only in the church, but in mankind and in marriage. And this morning, we're going to look at power and authority misused. Power and authority misused. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." The word "delivered" here in the Greek means to deliver to someone, to keep, to use, to take care of, or to manage. So this man that was going on a journey to a far country, he gave, you're going to see, money, goods, wealth to these people, his servants. They're called his servants. And they were supposed to manage that which he gave them. They were supposed to take care of it. They were supposed to utilize it for the growth and the movement of the master. And to one, he gave 5 talents, verse 15. To another, 2. To another, 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So some people got more than others, but everybody got what they could handle, and everybody got something. Even the person with one. Because he got one did not mean that he was of any lesser value in the master's eyes. It just meant that his ability and his capacity was one. And a person whose ability and capacity is one, if they function at 100% of their capacity, can receive and will receive a reward and the rewards equal to the person whose ability and capacity is 5. If the person who has the ability and capacity of 5 will function at 100%. So it's not a matter of you're better than anybody. It's a matter of this is your lot in life. Some people have long suits. Some people have gifts. Some people have, you know, and they do better at things than other people. I'm not an office type person when it comes to church stuff. Okay, I'm an office person where I work, and I'm so sick of it when it comes to church stuff. I don't want to see any office stuff. I'm not a person who can compile syllabus and make CDs and edit and do that kind of stuff. See, that's not a long suit of mine. So I would be a -1 in that area, right? But that doesn't mean I don't have something that I could give. "Well, he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of what? See, so the 2 and the 5 wasn't the point. The point was that which he gave them, they used to the best of their ability. That's the point. And he that received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which have 10 talents. Okay. If our master went on a long trip, and before leaving, he gave us a large sum of money and told us to invest it wisely for him, we could apply this parable to our life. You see, the money is like the power God gives us. And the command to use it wisely is like the authority that God gives us. And from the parable, one of the things that we learn is that God doesn't like very much when he gives you something and you do not use it wisely. See? God has given each and every one of us power and authority. God has given us abilities. God has gifted you. God may have chosen to give you a ministry. But everyone in this room has abilities, has a gift, has a long suit that they could serve and that they could give back in the body of Christ. Everyone. Because God's no respecter of what? Every single one of you. Now it's up to you to identify that, and then it's up to you to utilize it for the master's glory. 1 Peter chapter 4. You can go there if you like. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. Jimmy did a wonderful teaching on Peter Thursday night. Shared a lot of points. I don't know if he read this verse, though. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, the Amplified version reads, just as each one of you has received a special gift, a spiritual talent, or a spiritual ability graciously given to you by God, employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. See, every one of us has received something. And we should take that and employ it. We should use it. We should use that to serve one another. Okay? In other words, everybody has something to give. It's not built around a person or a couple or a name of a ministry. You are the body of Christ. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, any more than the hand can say unto the foot, I have no need of you. Right? Everybody has something that they can give. Don't come to the end of your life and sit in fellowship day after day after day and figuratively the Lord say unto you, what happened to the talent I gave you? See, what happened to the ability I gave you? What happened to the long suit in love or the long suit in this or this that I give you? Did you utilize it? Did you use it for my glory? Okay. You don't want to do that. Think of spiritual power and spiritual authority in light of that. God has placed power and authority in each and every one of us. And God Almighty has invested a lot in us, starting with the passion of Jesus Christ. See, it costs God something to be able to get to us the source of that power, which is Holy Spirit by seed. And that was the life of Jesus Christ. What happens if we refuse to use the gift of Holy Spirit that God has entrusted us? After all that God went through, after all that Jesus went through, and this was delivered unto you, why would you not use that which he gave you? Worse than that, what would happen if we misuse the power and authority that God has entrusted unto us? Authority is an awesome responsibility and privilege. The power of authority can be used to bear much fruit. It can also be mishandled and it can be abusive. To remain submissive and obedient to the one who grants the authority, we need to understand the heart of the Father God. Authority comes from intimacy with God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, Ephesians 5 says. The more we understand God, the more we'll understand authority. In John 15:5, Jesus said that if we abide in the vine, we will bring forth much fruit. If the authority that we exercise results in bringing help, health, freedom, if it results in people being healed, if it results in people growing in the Lord, that authority should be continued. If there are constant, negative, oppressive results, on the other hand, with people being damaged and the name of the Lord being dishonored, that activity should be discontinued because there's no profit. There's no profit. The nature of our authority demands that we keep ourselves aligned with the character of the one who grants this authority. And that would be who? God. We need to hold ourselves accountable to the standard of Christ and see to it that we do not overstep the boundaries of our authority. With our authority comes boundaries. And as long as you operate and function within the boundaries prescribed by God, you can help people bear much fruit. But once you overstep those boundaries and you go beyond your authority and you start functioning and acting in a way that is contrary to God's word, that's when people begin to get hurt. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. And we're looking at misuse of authority today. And the reason why we're looking at it is so you can be aware of what is right and what is wrong. Number two, then when you see this authority being misused in the church, you can confront that individual with the word of God. See, we're going to make a standard. And the standard's going to be the Bible. The standard's not going to be what Nick says. The standard is going to be the Word of God. And then, if I function in the Word of God, it will be evident to you in my life and my walk. But if I do not, you will know the truth. And your job before God Almighty, in love, in respect, is to come and confront me and saying, that's not what the Word says. That's not what you taught us power and authority is. See, isn't that wonderful? I'm placing myself and Chuck and everybody else who functions in this church here under the doctrine of God's Word. And I'm giving you the knowledge of God's Word so that iron can sharpen iron. You understand? It's doctrine, reproof, and correction. I do not have a get-out-of-jail-free card in my back pocket, like the Monopoly game. Joshua's favorite card. I don't have that. I don't want one. See, I want to be held accountable, and I want to be held to the standard of the word because I want to be my best for you. There are many great men who have had genuine ministries and had a genuine heart to serve for God that are no longer serving for God and no longer walking in their ministry because they refuse to be held accountable to the word. And they refuse to be held accountable to other equally great men who would be their compadres, who would be able to tell them, I wouldn't do that if I were you. See? You have to be meek, and you have to be responsible, and you have to be held accountable. Not to what I say, but to what God says. To what God says. Now, do people make mistakes? Absolutely. Am I going to make mistakes? Absolutely. It's not in the making of the mistake that is the problem. It's in the continuing in the mistake and the ignoring of the admonishing of the mistake that is the problem. You understand? So don't get off on, you know, pick this and pick that. Everybody's going to make mistakes. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2. It says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, where did the commandments come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. So we could be on pretty safe ground saying that the commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ gave are good commandments, right? Not everything I may say may be good, but everything that Jesus says is the best. For this is the will of God. Do you ever go through life and want to know what the will of God is? Father, what is your will in this situation? What should I? He's telling us. He's telling us because he knows how we are, and that if we can screw it up, we're going to screw it up. So he's trying to get us to the best place possible, and he's saying, Jesus gave these commandments, and this is the will of God. That's what he's telling us, you understand? And he's telling us this so that when we see these commandments broken in the body of Christ, we can be assured that, hey, that guy's wrong and Jesus is right. Hey, that guy's outside of the will of God, and this is what the will of God says. Do you understand? Hey, take time to put words in the Bible that mean things. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. All right, now he's going to give it to you. You should abstain from fornication. The word fornication is the Greek word porneia. We get our English word pornography from it. Now, is pornography talking about overstepping somebody in business? No. Is pornography talking about the kingdoms of the world? Yes. Pornography has a direct tie, and the direct tie to pornography, in order to have something that's pornographic, you need to have what? Sure. People, sex. Right. Actually, it's not the sex part, it's illicit sex. It's wrong. It's those things that are done outside of God's word. That's what it's talking about. Okay? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that we should abstain from porneia, from illicit sexual acts. It includes adultery, this sort of thing. So God's taking us to a place where he's teaching us about sex, and God's taking us to a place where he's teaching us about sex in the first epistle ever written. Although it is placed last in canonical order, it is the first written because it contained a hope. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, which know not God. Concupiscence, again, to show you how the subject stays together, means a craving or a longing or a desire for that which is forbidden. It's talking about lust. Still talking about sex, but the wrong kind of sex. Now watch it. Verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in, the word any is italicized, it's not the word, it's not in the text, in this matter, or the matter is the rendering of it, because the Lord is an avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. That no man would go beyond and defraud. The word defraud means to overstep or to overreach his boundaries. See, there's a boundary that God places in life on a whole bunch of different things in life. And there's a boundary that God places in life with regards to sex. And in the body of Christ, no individual shall go beyond that boundary and overreach or defraud his brother. Defraud his brother with regards to what? To sex. That's what it's talking about. Understand? God tells us that. I have a right. Where's my wife? There she is. Wife. To my wife. And I have certain boundaries with my wife that you do not. I do not have the same boundaries with Dolores or Janet or any other woman in this room. And I don't have those boundaries with regards to her husband. I don't defraud my brother in light of that. I can talk, I can whatever, but that's, you only go so far. You understand? What it says is that the Lord is an avenger of all such, and we have forewarned you and testified. When you go in this area and you overstep your boundaries and you start acting in wrong ways in the body, you don't have to worry about the husband. He's the least of your worry. You have to worry about the Lord. Because the Lord's a lot of things, and when it says he's an avenger of all such, you know who the avengers are, right? You don't want the avengers coming after you, right? That's not a good thing. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto what? And this is another boundary. Watch it. And this is really, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God who has given unto us his Holy Spirit. The word despiseth means rejects or refuses this revelation that's being taught. It means he sets aside the word of God for his own pleasure. That's a boundary. And I'm going to tell you how it's a boundary. It says that he that despise, you can't make anybody do anything. As a minister, you have a right to inform people. You have a right to warn people. Okay? And then you have an extreme right, if people are screwing up in the body of Christ, to set them outside of the body for a while until they get straightened out. But that's rare circumstances and cases, because usually people remove themselves. See? The Bible says, he that despiseth not man, but God. When an individual acts like this and continues to act like this, they do not disrespect you so much, they disrespect God Almighty. See? And if they disrespect God, if they take God's word, if they take, for this is the will of God, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then the instruction, and they take that instruction and set it aside, what makes you think they're going to listen to you? They just set aside the word of God from the creator of the heavens and the earth and the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and me. And they're not going to listen to them too. What makes you think they're going to listen to you? Understand? We are to use our authority to represent God and his will. We are not to use our authority to substitute our desires for his. Our authority is not to do whatever we want, whenever we want. Our authority is given to us for representing God, who gave us this authority, and to bring him glory by our actions. Now, in the time remaining, I'd like to list for you four ways that people misuse authority. These are not all the ways, but these are four ways. Those of us with authority in the church are responsible to use this authority to free God's precious people. Right? Jesus Christ came to free them that were in prison, that sat in the shadow of death. You understand? Authority is used to free God's people, to free them from oppression, from that which the devil brings against them. We are responsible to protect the flock that has been entrusted to us. Misuse of authority is one of the things that God risked when he first gave that authority and when he second gave us free will. In other words, it's me, O Lord. He knew damn right well that in giving the authority, there were going to be people who were going to misuse it. But he also knew that authority is necessary in the church, and that the profit of those operating and walking on the Word of God in the Spirit of God would outweigh those that misuse it. So he had to give it to us, just like we have police officers today. Police officers are good. But you know that there are bad cops. But if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. So what do? You take everything and throw it out and say no police force? Then what would we have? Yes. We have a lot more sales of weapons. So with the good of necessity, there's going to come some bad. And God knew that. He knew that there were going to be men and women who were going to start out good and take a left when they should have took a right. But you need authority because you need to be organized and you need to have things decent and in order. Authority is misused, number one, whenever it exalts the person to whom the authority is given, rather the Lord who is the source and the giver of the authority. Number one, authority is misused whenever it exalts the person to whom the authority is given, rather than the Lord, the source and the giver of the authority. Son, if you need to get up, that's okay, buddy. Whatever you need to do. Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. To show you that authority was given to this individual by God, that's why I picked this verse. Thou, O King, art King of Kings, talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. Thou, O King, art King of Kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Nebuchadnezzar was one who was endued with authority by God Almighty to rule. Daniel chapter 4, verse 29. This is how Nebuchadnezzar decided to rule. After the second dream, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my great mighty power and for my honesty or honor and for my majesty? Who's got a big head? Nebi. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. This comes from the Avengers. I think it was Iron Man. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And for a little while, Nebuchadnezzar became a vegetarian. Grew some feathers and a whole bunch of claws. You see, because he abused the authority that was given to him, and he was using that authority to elevate himself. Number two, authority is misused when those without power are hurt. Authority is misused when those without power are hurt. Authority is misused and God is angered when those with authority use it to hurt the powerless. Guidelines are given throughout the Bible concerning how those in authority are to treat those without authority. The story of David and Bathsheba is a case in point. David was guilty of both adultery and murder. And to this end, the prophet Nathan focused his parable in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. God speaks severe condemnation against those who cheat their employees out of wages, and those who take advantage of the widows, those who take advantage of orphans, and those who take advantage of foreigners. Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. God condemns the teachers of the law for taking advantage of widows and robbing them of their homes and making long and pious prayer. Mark chapter 12, verse 40. So authority is misused when it exalts the person to whom authority is given rather than the Lord, the source and giver of authority. Authority is misused when people without power are hurt. Number three, authority is misused when Scripture is mishandled. Authority is misused when pastors quote Scriptures in such a way that people feel unnecessarily condemned. There are actions and attitudes within the church that we need to condemn if we're going to be biblical. But when a verse such as Philippians 3:13, the one you all know, forgetting those things which are behind, is used to give the impression that God simply wants us and commands us to forget the past, great damage can result. If you would go back and you would read the context of the chapter, you will see that the verse has nothing to do with past hurts and failures. To the contrary, Paul is advising us to forget our past victories and accomplishments so that we can focus on and win the race that we're running now. Pharisee of Pharisee, schooled at such and such, I know more than this, I know. He wasn't talking about that. He's talking about how great he was, everything that he knew, all his victories, all his accomplishments. He was ready to forget them and put them aside and count them as dung for the excellency of what? But when those who are badly hurt from past abuse hear such a verse misused, they go away further abused, wondering why they just can't forget as their preacher advised. And when you work in the field of deliverance, you get to understand that God does not want you to sweep your past hurts under the rug. God wants you to face them, to understand them. Then he will bring healing in there to forgive and to move on. See? And this really hurts people because, well, let me give you an example. I told you this before, I'll tell it to you again. One time I was ministering to a woman. She was a clergyman's wife. And I was sharing a story, and the problem was that when her husband would come up behind her and put his arms around her, she'd freak out. Now, since now, it's why she knew that it was her husband, they were the only two in the house, and that he loved her and he would do her no harm. But she had what we call in deliverance a body memory. The body memory took her back to a place in life where she was raped, and she never dealt with it, and she swept it under the rug. And in doing so, she allowed it to stay alive and torment her year after year after year after year after year. So much so that her husband would have to announce his presence when he would approach his wife. Well, once we found this out, I was able to take her, explain to her, this is why it's happening. Your body senses it, the memory. It comes to your mind. Your mind is a historical container. Your memory is a historical container of past events. That event is still active, and you are responding in the present because of that which happened in the past. Minister to her, cast out the spirit, came to hug her, no problem. All better. Understand? All her life she heard the verse, she was probably seventh core. All her life she heard the verse, forget those things which are behind. But that verse is not talking about that. The verse was used out of context. And when she heard that verse all her life, and she applied that verse to her life, and she never got the deliverance from that verse in her life, she went away more abused. Am I unworthy? What's wrong with me? How come it doesn't work? And then ultimately you question God. And ultimately, you know what you do? You just sweep that under the rug because it's too ugly to look at because you can't get the answer, so you just forget about it. And you walk in bondage. See? That's a practical application, how you can misuse Scripture That's a misuse of authority. May be due to ignorance, but it's still a misuse of authority. How are people ever going to know that God doesn't want these hurts swept under the rug if they're simply told, forget the past? God wants people to face these wounds openly and to forgive. Not excuse them, not condone them, not allow reason for them, but to forgive. Because once you can forgive, then you can move on into freedom. Okay? You're not going to move on into freedom until you face it for what it is. You see it for what it is from the Word of God. You forgive and you move on. And a lot of times that's what happens in the ministry of deliverance. And people walk in freedom. Number four, authority is misused when people are led away from God. The leaders of Israel abandoned the one true God over and over again to follow false gods. In 1 Kings 21 and following, you can read about King Ahab and his lovely wife Jezebel, who with hundreds of priests led the people in the worship of the Baal gods. Because he was the one who was in authority. See? God instructed Jeremiah to speak harshly against false prophets who prophesied lies. And the priests who rule by their own authority. Look at this one in Jeremiah chapter 5. The New International Version of Jeremiah chapter 5. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 31. God told Jeremiah, the prophets prophesy lies. This is New International, I'm reading to you. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? They were lying, the priests were walking by their own authority, and the people were eating it up. Oh, isn't this guy great? Oh, isn't this wonderful? Oh, well, look at what God told him today, and look at how we're doing this, and look at it. But you know what God says? What you going to do in the end? See? And that stuff happens. There were false prophets then, and there are false prophets now, who attempt to represent God and His work in His authority without ever hearing from God. They come, they say, I'm walking in the authority of God, and they never even heard from God. They walk in their own authority. They walk in the imagination of their own mind and heart. Jeremiah 14:14, the English Standard Version reads, the Lord said unto me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds. False prophets then, 1 Timothy chapter 4, the New International reads of verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. They will abandon the what? Can you abandon something you never had? Can you abandon the boat if you're not on the boat? No. Can you abandon the cheeseburger if you don't have a cheeseburger? No. See, you're talking about people who had the faith. Talking about people who were walking for God. Talking about people who were believers. But it says they will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Men and women who say they represent the one true God often fall into this category. Some are influenced by demons and they introduce doctrines of devils contrary to foundational truths of Christian biblical faith. Listen, They use the authority of their office to mislead God's precious people. Galatians chapter 1. We're going to close in Galatians. Galatians 1. This is nothing new. Galatians, verse 6, chapter 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another what? Gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of what? These guys didn't get called into the gospel of Buddha. You understand? These guys perverted the gospel of Christ. They were still talking about Christ, but they were talking about Christ in a legalistic way, in a way that you got to be circumcised, in a way that you got to obey, in a way that you have to come under these laws, rules, and regulations in order to be accepted by God, when the Bible says you're accepted by God in Christ Jesus, where the Bible says we have access unto God by one Spirit. Not by what you do, but by one Spirit. Get what that Spirit is. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, which was given to you when you're born again. That gives you access to God. Nothing else gives you access to God. Man could get to God, he wouldn't need that. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth and crucified among you? It was a spirit of witchcraft. It bewitched the church. And it took them away from Christ. And Paul wants to know, it was a what? It was a who? Not Cindy Lou Who. It was a who? That means it was a person, right? Who hath bewitched you? That's what he wanted to know. Who's the guy? Who's the girl? And it had to be someone who was in what? Authority. Someone that they were going to listen to. Someone that had of would be of reputation. You understand? Chapter 5, verse 7. You did run well. There's the who again. See it? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the what? It's a person. It's a person who's misusing their authority. And when you misuse authority to take people away from God, that's not a good thing. Verse 8 says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. The word persuasion means treacherous deception. It's a deception. And people that operate in deception generally have spirits of witchcraft and spirits that are deceiving spirits. So what have we seen this so far? We saw that from the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, that God doesn't like it when he gives us something and we don't use it wisely. We saw that authority is an awesome responsibility and privilege, and that the power of authority can be used to bear much fruit. We also saw that it can be mishandled and abusive. We saw that we have to remain submissive and obedient to the one who grants authority, and we need to understand the heart of our Father God. If the authority we exercise results in people being helped, healed, freed, and growing in the Lord, it should be continued. If there are constant negative, oppressive results, on the other hand, with people being damaged and the name of the Lord being dishonored, the activity should be discontinued. The nature of our authority demands that we keep ourselves aligned with the character of the one who grants that authority. We saw that we need to hold ourselves responsible and accountable to the standard of Christ. And we also learn that we do not overstep the boundaries of our authority. We saw that we're to use our authority to represent God and His will. not substitute our desires for His. Our authority is not given to us so that we can do whatever we want, whenever we want. Our authority is given to us so that we can represent God, who gave this authority, and bring Him glory. And then we listed four ways that authority can be misused. Number one, authority is misused whenever it exalts the person to whom the authority is given rather than the Lord, who is the source and giver of the authority. Number two, authority is misused when those without power are hurt. Number three, authority is misused when Scripture is mishandled. Number four, authority is misused when people are led away from God. And there's more. See, there's counterfeit authority. Who operated counterfeit authority? Simon the sorcerer, giving out that himself was some great one. There's different ways authority is just misused. We saw in 1 Peter that we're to do the things that will edify. Chapter 4. That everybody has a gift. Everybody has a service they can perform. We also learn in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that we are exhorted to follow in Jesus Christ's steps. The Scripture says that He left us a what? Example that we should follow, right? The example of authority that Jesus demonstrated was an example not found in a position or in a title, but in a towel. The towel He used when He washed the disciples' feet. His intimacy with the Father gave Jesus this authority, and it was matched by His use of the authority not to be served, but to serve. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verses 25 and following, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." That's the way it's supposed to be done in the church. And when it's done in the church, that's what you're rewarded for. See? And it's better to have the praise and glory of God than the praise and glory of men. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these clear, simple truths that we can see out of Your Scripture. We thank You, Father, that we can walk to glorify You, that we can bring Your will to people, that we can be obedient to You. And I especially thank You, Father, for those that You have empowered with authority in the church, that we learn and we walk in such a way that it blesses You first and foremost, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Your wonderful, precious people that You have given to us and entrusted to us to watch over. May our service be to them one of a towel, Father, and not of a rod, not striking fear in the hearts of God's people, not threatening God's people, but loving them and encouraging them to do the Word of God for what was done for them, to bring them into an intimate knowledge of who they are in Christ and how much You actually do love them, that they may see themselves as who they are in Christ, Father, and that they may act accordingly to bring glory to You. It's in His precious name, Father, we pray. Amen.